checked in. Be prepared to get out and come in. If you're not, hey, don't come, because you're just holding up space. And whatever you're doing out in the parking lot, you can do it somewhere else. But if you want to come to the den and enjoy yourself, it's a day of that day of the den. You're welcome to come. And I hope you do enjoy yourself. We got some good food. If you just want to come and holler at me, hey, the thing is wide open, baby. And I'll be there with bells on. All you got to do is just ring them. Thank you.
Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake. Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound we broadcast as loud as possible. We repeat, this is an emergency. The unpleasant noise you hear on your radio receiver is not a mistake. Do not turn off your set, but turn up the volume as high as possible. This is an emergency.
Set recap here. That was Vulpec and In Real Life from their Clarity of Cal album. That's a WFMU hit, In Real Life. Someone reminded me recently about these Dell's Den ad talks that I used to air quite a while ago, and I totally forgot about them. I found one, but I'm going to be looking for the rest because they're all great. Carpenters with the Rainbow Connection, Eddie Current Suppression Ring from a new EP called Shapes and Forms, we heard Despite It All. Water From Your Eyes, what a fascinating track that is. It's prog. It's pure prog. Has Dave Mandel aired that? No. He will. I'll make sure of that. And thanks to Gus Bodenheim for his sporadic contributions to this program. My name's Irwin. I'll be back next Wednesday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, here on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. You are invited, no, you are urged to stay tuned for 7 Second Delay with Ken and Andy.
The show, of course, being 7-second delay.
I've got to turn my phone off.
You do?
If I don't turn my phone off, my wife will be calling every 3 minutes, telling me not to be so.
Oh, yeah. I remember she texted you last week during the show.
I believe the term she uses is jerky.
Jerky. She said too jerky.
Yeah. My goal, of course, is to be just perfectly jerky enough.
Yeah, you were really jerky last week.
I have an excuse.
Oh, because you had an infected tooth? Was that your excuse last week?
That's a pretty damn good excuse. I can't do better than that.
And you had root canal?
Yes, I did. I've had 3 root canals in 18 months.
Nice! You going for some kind of record?
I have a crush. I have a crush on the dentist. How's your teeth? Take care of your teeth, son.
Yeah, I do take care.
How's your heart? How's your heart? Forget your teeth. You doing okay?
Yeah, my heart's doing okay. No problems to speak of.
You think I'm going to outlive you?
Nope.
I'm losing weight. I'm on that
paleo. Yeah.
No, I'm on that appetite depressant thing.
You're on Ozempic?
Well, not Ozempic. It's a variation of Ozempic.
Wow, you're on an Ozempic-like thing? You get a shot once a week?
I give myself a shot.
You trust yourself to give yourself a shot?
Wait, don't millions and millions and millions of people do it? You must think I'm just like some mentally challenged. You must think I just suffered an industrial accident. That's so insulting.
I would never trust you to give me a shot.
It's like you said, you came up the elevator all by yourself. Yeah, I give myself a shot.
Where do you inject it?
Usually the kitchen.
No, I mean on your
body. I know. Really? You want to know where I inject it?
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
It means something to you?
It does. The listeners want to know. On your butt?
No, not on my butt.
Your thigh?
I save my butt for other things. Yeah, my thigh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I go, I'm eating one meal a day. My goal is to outlive you, to inherit the station.
And how much weight have you...
I have some plans, baby.
How much weight have you lost?
I've lost about 1 pound a week.
That's a healthy rate of loss. That's
yeah,
not bad.
At this rate, I'll be down. At this rate, in 3 years, I did the math.
Uh-huh.
I'll be 18 pounds.
Well, you don't want to overdo it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so now you've had...
It'll be the Bataan Death March.
So your three root canals that you've had in the last year and a half, are they better or worse than me telling a story?
You mean are my root canals... You mean going through root canal?
Yeah. I know how you hate it whenever I start telling a story. I'm just wondering, is it... Would you rather have another root canal, or would you rather have...
First off, what you tell can legally be called stories. Can technically be called stories. When you're just babbling, when you're earning your pay, you're paid by the word. You don't tell your listeners that.
Well, you can call them anecdotes.
Yeah, anecdotes. No, root canal, I don't look forward to the root canals.
Huh.
Anyway.
So you'd rather hear me tell an anecdote than get another root canal?
Yes. I'll go on record.
All right.
Yes, I would rather hear Ken tell one of his anecdotes than get a fourth root canal this year.
I've really
congratulations,
made it.
Ken.
Thank you.
That's how engrossing you are to me.
That makes me very happy.
But wait, we have an actual... what do we have to plug? We have 2 things.
Yeah, September 19th, we are hosting WFMU DJ stand-up night at Monty Hall.
What are we going to do?
I guarantee you this is the last time we will ever do such a thing.
Okay.
Because there is a reason why people become disc jockeys and not stand-up comedians.
Oh, I see. You don't think it's going to be very entertaining.
No, it's going to be very entertaining. I'm being self-deprecating. I think it's going to be great.
No, it'll be interesting. So it'll be disc jockeys that are going to do, what are you going to give them, 5 minutes on
Yep,
stage?
5 minutes each. Yep.
Okay.
Plus, you do 5 minutes, I do 1 minute.
And then at the end of the night, we'll compare. I'll be able to compare that to my three root canals.
Yes.
The evening of disc jockey comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be a close one. Very exciting. It'll be a horse race.
Yeah, it's Friday night, September 19th. Shabbos. We scheduled it for Shabbos.
For sundown. Are we selling tickets?
Yes, we are selling tickets at WFMU.org.
I think you should review the refund policy.
They're selling like hotcakes, I might add.
And then we also have an idea for a future show. If somebody wants to volunteer. Josh would be great at this, actually. We're looking for 6 listeners to write 6 challenging questions, and we're going to create a Jeopardy board. We'll have 6 categories, right? Mm-hmm. You can pick your own category, your own area of interest. And I guess they should be increasingly challenging questions, right? Some of the questions are worth less, and they'd be easier, right? And then you and I would have a Jeopardy board created by listeners to play in a couple of weeks, right?
Yep.
What do they do if they want to write 6 questions, if they want a category?
They can email me at ken@wfmu.org.
Or you can email me at ken@wfmu.org.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that that's actually true. You don't want your email on the WFMU website. So when people email you, it comes to me.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect system. And what are some examples of some categories that people might want to write 6 questions about? It can be very arcane. It can be very very narrow, right? People have narrow interests.
Yeah, well, I guess it's similar to what we did when we had listeners interviewing us.
Yeah, remind me, what are some categories?
We got interviewed about, or we got quizzed about the history of pornography, movies, tax law, agriculture.
Anything that interests you will interest us. Or I'll put it another way, anything that interests you, we will pretend interests us, right? We're very good at that, aren't we?
You can pretend.
Yeah, we're good at that.
I'm genuinely interested in a lot of things.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, like you really zoned out during the history of porn. You were under the table. I don't know what you were doing when you got quizzed about history of porn.
Well, so it got boring because so many of the questions were about me personally. I just became offended after a while.
That's true.
You probably didn't appreciate what an integral part of the porn world I was.
So you can email Andy?
No. I don't want, no, Ken.
Yeah. Email Andy at ken@wfmu.org.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. All his ex-wives email him there.
Yeah, they do.
You can too.
And we will generate a Jeopardy game, right?
Right.
Will that be next week we'll do that?
Let's not commit ourselves. Let's wait until we have 6 sets of 6 questions.
We've got to have 6 listeners with 6 areas of interest. It's got to be. All right. And so we've checked that off, right?
Yep. And also we have a gender reveal party coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old is the child? He or she is like 12.
No. Not that. Oh. No, I know who you're talking about.
No, wait. What? Wait, we have a listener who's with child.
Not that gender reveal okay. party. No, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
too.
That would be good at Mount the Hall.
We should do that.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah.
It's a listener who. It's a listener. Why on earth would she agree to this? But
it's a listener who is not born yet.
She has no idea what.
A pre-listener.
We can tell her that this is the best radio station in the world.
Oh,
she'd have no idea.
Yeah, you know what's great about doing the gender reveal party?
Yeah.
Is that the mom-to-be can hold headphones up to her belly and play the gender reveal party for the little baby.
So we're going to hear a parent live on the air.
Two parents.
Two parents pretend not to be disappointed that it's a girl.
Right.
Right?
No, they might want a girl. They might prefer.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Of course. They might want a girl.
Prefer a girl.
Yeah. No, you have to say that. You're right. You're right. Of course, you're right. It's a lot harder.
How do your daughters feel right now?
Well, it depends if they're listening or not, doesn't it? If any family member listens, they're feeling bad. That's just
a general rule.
I know one is listening.
One family member right here.
He's sitting in the room. I want to introduce him. Josh, when was the last time you were on the show? It's been a while, right?
Actually, in here?
In the studio?
Get closer to the mic,
sorry,
John.
Yeah. I've called in before, right? I call in once every year or two. But I haven't been here for a live show in like 30 years, probably.
When the show was young, you probably might not remember this, Ken. Josh was our regular caller. He was your mom would put you on the phone almost every week.
Sure.
We used to do live shows from Josh's Little League games. I remember.
No, oh, that's right.
You did one. No, you didn't.
I think we did.
I think I remember that.
I think we did.
Yeah.
You were our regular. You were our co-host. But even though you haven't been here in the studio, you've been a friend of the station and a friend of the show. He's been our technical advisor.
Yep,
sure.
Our technical backstop, responsible for some great technical wizardry.
Yeah, and Josh really helped me out with the slow time show, too.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Slow time show. The Einsteinian theory.
Listener
being
Mike
confirmed.
Listener Mike from the Bat Ranch and Josh. Josh was my my kind of psychological consultant.
That was about a year ago, maybe a little longer.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago.
It was just 1 year.
Where you and Josh hacked the clocks in the studio.
Yeah, Mike did that.
And so the show took 2 hours, and I was tricked and thought it was just time was moving very slowly.
Yeah.
Even slower than usual.
Yeah. Josh thought I had overstepped my bounds. He thought that maybe I could fool you for 90 minutes, but I wouldn't be able to fool you for 120 minutes. Yet when it was all done, I think I could have fooled you for 180 minutes.
Well, neither of you factored this in. I really zone out during the show. I go elsewhere mentally.
You're just thinking about that next Ozempic shot. Can't wait for the next Ozempic.
I'm thinking about my big 5 minutes, September 19th. Thinking about my opening line. So
will this be the first stand-up you've done since you were booed off stage at the open mic in Madison?
I wish I was booed off stage. I wish there was some response. No, that was pretty bad.
They didn't even boo you off stage?
That was another example of Einsteinian time.
Standing still.
I was standing still. I must have been up there for 4.5 hours. But I looked down at my watch, 3 minutes. Yeah.
All right, so we've killed enough time here. We really should get going.
Yeah, we have a great topic.
Yeah, you love this topic.
I'm confident about it.
Why don't you explain it?
Last week, some couple called. I don't know, Josh, if you were listening, but I was listening to part of the show last week, some couple called, and the wife. It was a spouse, and the wife was telling a story that she had heard her husband tell 100 times. Right?
Yep.
And I said, "There's a show there." So, Ken, you offered to put up a T-shirt. There's a prize.
Uh huh.
We're going to invite couples to call 201-209-9368 and tell us the story that you've heard your spouse tell or your significant other tell 100 times. You've heard it so often in public when they dine out. They've been dining out on this. They've been meeting strangers on this. They've been maybe embellishing it, maybe changing it. You've heard it so often that you yourself could probably tell it as well as he or she could. We want to hear you tell it, and then your spouse will confirm if you told it perfectly, you're eligible for a T-shirt at the end of the show. Right?
Yes, that's it.
That's all you have to do. Tell your spouse's stupid story. Boy, my lisp has never been more pronounced. Tell your spouse's
spouse's
stupid
Stupid story about
okay.
Sammy the Snake.
Okay, now we're changing the name
Sammy
of the show.
Sammy the Snake.
I'm
slithering.
Changing the topic. I'm not doing this topic.
Sammy the Snake.
I'm not doing it.
Slithered through.
I'm not saying the word story for the rest of the hour.
Saskatchewan.
Oh, you can go to hell. Now I'm just not. I'll do anything else.
Anecdote,
yeah. Tell us your husband's anecdote.
Or your wife's anecdote.
Or your wife's anecdote. But not your spouse's.
Partner.
Or your partner, yeah, your
yeah.
partner.
Yeah. Oh, thank
your
you,
partner's
Josh.
Anecdote. So this is challenging now. I have to do a weekly radio show and avoid the letter S. This is where I am in my life. 201-209-9368.
Well, we once did a show where we avoided the letter E.
Hey. I'd like to talk about how Andy got a triple play playing second base.
Okay. Oh, okay. This is
right,
we
this
should
is
explain.
A good example.
This is my wife. This is Beth. Beth, have I been jerky yet tonight?
No, you've been less jerky, but I give
I've been
Josh
less jerky.
Credit. I think Josh is
yeah,
being
I mean, yeah.
Less
he is. I know. He's a yeah. He's a tempering influence.
Yeah, Josh is the Billy Preston of 7 Second Delay.
Yeah. He is. He is the Billy Preston. We should have him join the band. Remember that one moment? Remember that one moment in Get Back?
Oh, did they ask him to actually join
no,
the
they,
band?
No, they discussed it among themselves.
Oh, no, I missed that. I remember when John said that they could hire Eric Clapton to replace George.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. George threw us, I was going to say sissy fit, but I can't say that tonight. Sissy fit. George threw a sissy fit. What? I'm taking the gum out. This is now just so embarrassing. I'm now very self-conscious.
Oh man,
that's all we had to do to get you to take the gum out? Is just make fun of your lisp? All Jesus. These years?
It really is sensitive.
All these years.
Wait, I'm really touchy.
Sensitive.
Oh, shut up. Oh, God. This is now the worst. Okay, honey, so it's true. I'll cop to this. I've been telling my unassisted triple play
unassisted,
story.
Unassisted. There's some key words. Unassisted.
Okay, don't tease me, honey.
Okay, Beth, go ahead. And
This is the story that you've heard. You've heard 100 times.
Okay.
I'm now curious. I challenge you. I wonder.
He's a young boy.
No, tell it in the first person.
No, tell it. Yeah,
pretend you were Andy and tell it like.
Okay.
Pretend we're on a double date. I'm with another couple. The subject of Little League baseball comes up.
Okay. Well, first, then of course Andy would brag about his about Miles.
I do.
And then you would somehow segue into.
I get off of other people and onto myself. Yes.
Yes. About how you are second baseman. And you were, and a line drive goes to second base, right? You catch the ball. Wait, hold on. You tag the person that was on second base who was just about to leave, and the first baseman just took off, and then you tagged the person.
I guess I have to tell it another 100 times.
I can tell it.
And then I know
it. Yeah,
Josh. Too late to watch the play.
Yes, yes. That you got that part right. But honey, you told that terribly. I don't recognize that story.
I'm so sorry.
I live that story. I don't recognize it. Okay, Josh, you've heard me tell it. I think
you're playing second base.
Yes.
The ball is hit to you. You catch it. You're runners standing. Runnies on first and second.
Right.
Right.
Right. No outs.
You're. A short step away from actually tagging the base, you tag it, and then the runner from first.
Right. I forgot the tag.
The runner from first inexplicably
yes.
is just charging at you,
yes.
and you did not have to move at all. You just stood where you were, and the runner ran into you.
I believe I pivoted. I believe I turned toward him.
And you got the unassisted triple play without having to move or do almost anything.
I caught the line drive.
Yes,
I caught. Give me that.
Story, honey.
I caught the line drive. I had to move my right foot to touch second. And then what was the heartbreaking part of the story? Beth, you can finish it.
Your dad came in after.
Yeah, I looked up, and there was my dad just arriving. Exactly. Oh, is exactly right. This is before everyone had little video cameras on their phones.
Oh yeah, we get a play-by-play for Miles.
I wonder if he believed me.
Miles had one of those 4 years ago Oh, that's similar. Similar to yours, except it was he was playing third.
Oh, wow.
And none of the other kids were paying attention, so he caught the ball, tagged up third for the second out, right. And then he had to literally run across the diamond to tag first.
You mean across the pitcher's mound?
Because all the other kids were
oblivious
to what was going on. He was trying to get their attention. And so he just did it all himself and then got the unassisted.
So why was anybody else? Why would anyone else take the field if Miles Breckman was on the field? Well, honey, you told that terribly. I don't think you're even eligible for to be considered for a T-shirt.
Sorry, Beth.
Oh, that's all right.
But keep texting Andy.
But that tells you roughly how closely Beth pays attention to her husband.
Bye, Beth.
I really have told that story 100 times. Okay, so we're at 201-209-9368, and that's how it's done.
Do you think anybody else is going to call? This is a very fraught topic.
You think couples
are very sensitive about this, yeah.
Well, there's no reason to be. It's just human nature. You have a couple of stories. You tell it. You like to go with your A material, right? If you're the Eagles, you go out. You play Desperado. You play Running on Empty. You play your hits. You go out to dinner. You meet new people.
You play Hotel California.
Jeez. That unassisted triple play is my Hotel California. That's my greatest hits.
It's like you don't know the Eagles at all. Desperado.
You can't see the Eagles and not hear Desperado.
No, they're going to play Desperado, but they're not going to do it as their second encore. That's Hotel California.
You think they end with Hotel California?
I think they did.
Well.
Back in the day.
This is it. Show's completely in the ditch. If you're just tuning in, we're trying to remember what the Eagles play for their first and second encore.
You ever see that Eagles documentary?
Yeah, the big fights that they had on stage. That's the greatest. Nothing like it.
Yeah.
Nothing like fight stories.
Yeah, between Glenn Frey and Don Felder. It's great. Made me hate them a lot less.
Josh is in a couple of bands.
That documentary.
Has there ever been a moment of tension on stage in either of your bands?
No.
No.
That's the whole. It's like a rule. Is no bad vibes.
Oh, really? Well, then, wow, man.
Then you're not eligible to perform with the Eagles.
I think there's a lot.
Or the Beach Boys.
There's a lot of reasons I'm not eligible.
You could probably get into the Beach Boys if you marry one of Mike Love's daughters. Isn't that how you get into the Beach Boys?
Yes. We told that story recently.
Yeah. That's a good
one. But man, oh man, I remember when Andy was on the folk circuit. And
I was alone on the folk circuit.
But other people on the folk circuit used to like go at each other like cats and dogs, like you and Holly Near. That was amazing. God.
No, that never happened.
Oh, it wasn't Holly Near, was it the Roaches?
Me and the Roaches.
Or Christine Lavin?
Christine Lavin. Yeah. Yeah. It was the night she went electric. it just stunned us all. Is anyone calling?
No.
So we're looking for a couple where one spouse has heard the same damn story 1,000 damn times and can tell the damn story better than the damn other spouse.
See, that right there, it's an insult.
Why?
Right off the bat, because what one spouse is saying is, you have told this story so many damn times, I can't take
it. But spouse A can't deny that they've told the story repeatedly.
I don't think
one can deny it.
I don't think people realize when they repeat themselves that well, right?
AI, an AI program doesn't realize it, but people know that they're doing Desperado.
But that's a song. I think when it's a story, I think people like to imagine and then they convince themselves that, I haven't told this that many times.
That's ridiculous. That's like the Beach Boys going on and saying, I don't know if you've heard this one. It's called Good Vibrations. You might have heard it. They know their hits.
I don't know.
Well, okay, you might be right because there is empirical evidence that you might be right.
That no one is calling.
Yeah. I really thought we'd have Well, Josh, I hope you have a few anecdotes to share.
Well, no, I mean, see, you and Bethy have such a healthy marriage and relationship that she can
mock me.
She can mock you, and you're not going to lock her in the basement for very long.
No,
you know,
no.
Yeah,
she gets out now on her own.
Really?
Yeah, she's wily. I married a wily woman.
How did she get out?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Because I know you've made a lot of modifications.
I know she's out. I come downstairs in the morning. There she is in the kitchen. Huh. That little smile on her face.
Have you checked the ductwork?
You think she climbs out like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible?
Yeah, or like Bruce Willis in Die Hard. Ducts, man. You got to be careful about the ducts.
Well, I can't even agree with that because Bruce Willis has an S in it. So I don't want to talk about Bruce Willis. Damn.
Bruce W. from Die Hard.
You know, one of my earliest memories, I don't even know if I shared this with you, Joshy. One of my earliest memories was going to a speech therapist. Uh-huh. Did you know I went to a speech therapist?
I went to one too.
For S's?
Yeah.
I did.
Did you? That's right. I remember you did. Yeah. I remember.
My dad, you would remember.
That's right. I do remember. I remember they had like games and things in the room, and they would engage you that way.
Wow.
My speech therapist, there, I guess we played board games. I do. Maybe
Damn.
I have a memory of that.
We didn't have board games.
But before I rolled the dice, I had to say she sold seashells or, you know, some kind of. But it didn't take. Or maybe it took and now I reverted.
Maybe it was worse.
Maybe this is the fixed version. Maybe I really was. Who's the cartoon character that? Is that Daffy Duck?
Oh, Suffering Succotash?
I can't. Yeah. Oh, now I'm so self-conscious.
Yeah, Daffy Duck has.
I can't get past this. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take the next call. This is great. So we're asking couples to call. Tell us the story you've heard 1,000 times. And you win a T-shirt. We have a T-shirt on the table. A T-shirt. Tell us about the sizes of the T-shirts that they might request.
Well, Andy.
Yes.
We have a small shirt.
I can't say that because it's the yes, but yes. I can do the next one. I can do medium.
We have medium.
Let me take the medium part.
Okay.
We also have medium.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And we have the one that starts with L.
Large. I can do that.
Yep. And then we have, the next one.
I can do that one too. Is it safe?
Go ahead. Try it.
I feel like I'm in Marathon Man. Is it safe? Can I say the word?
It starts with an X.
Extra large.
Say that again.
Extra large.
Not bad.
So you can win a T-shirt if you tell your husband or wife's story even close to correctly.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, fellas. Listen, I'm just now tuning in, and considering no one else is listening, I wonder if you could just go over the topic one more time.
Well, wait. No. It's true no one else is calling. We haven't proved that no one else is.
You want
listening.
Us to explain the topic you, one
are
more
you,
time?
Are you? Is your well, theory no, that you're the only anyway. One? Is your theory we're doing the show for you and you alone tonight?
No one else is positive.
You know what? So far, really, there's nothing to disprove this guy's theory, this working theory. Okay, you obviously are not married, are you?
Me? No.
No, I know. Okay, but imagine if you were married and you would tell your spouse the same story over and over, or she or he would tell you the same story over and over, and then until you could tell it by heart yourself.
Wow, that's really a great topic,
Phyllis. Oh, shut up. Oh, all of you, shut up. Thanks for calling, since no one else is listening. You know what kills me? I can't prove that guy wrong.
No, you can't.
I don't know. I just want to prove him wrong. No one else is listening. Oh, so I want to hit somebody.
We're looking for a couple.
Doesn't matter. Now I'm just looking for one other. Listener B. That's all I'm listening.
No, we're looking for a couple that has a healthy, understanding relationship that they can acknowledge to each other. Honey, I've heard that before.
I can't imagine not saying that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not saying that to your... Oh,
a couple that when one of them breaks out the old chestnut, the other one says, "Oh, honey, I love this story. Tell it again."
Well, in a perfect world, your spouse would say, "Honey, tell about the unassisted triple play. Honey, tell everybody here at the party. Bring the party to a screeching halt and tell everybody your story." Really, no one's calling. Man, maybe that guy was right.
Well, even Josh warned you about this story.
You know, in 5 minutes, I'm going to be begging that guy to call back. That's where we are. That's where we are. We didn't get his name. We should do the whole show for him.
Oh, I know who that was.
You do? Who is he?
That's Black Cat.
Oh, Black Cat, give us a call. I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I'm on my knees. Black Cat, I am so sorry.
Black Cat's the listener who did the intro for the show once
upon a time. Oh, for the love of God. I insulted him.
Yeah.
Black Cat, you are tonight the only listener we have. We're going to do the show for you. Do you know anything about his interest? Do you know, like, his favorite type of music?
Well, he's a teacher.
Oh, he's a teacher.
Yeah.
What subject?
Don't know. A good one. A good subject.
Yeah. Ken, are we going to go the whole night without a call?
We got Black Cat called, and your wife Bethy called.
Oh, this is the end.
No, we can do it. We can get it.
Okay, 201-209-9368. Maybe it'll work better if your spouse isn't home now. Maybe that's the mistake. Maybe if you're alone and he or she is not listening, it's safe to call.
Okay, so
You can
You're part of a couple, but the other half of the relationship's not home.
And we know you're not married to Black Cat. He's not married, right? So your spouse probably is not listening. Black Cat, we've established, is listening.
Right.
He's our only listener.
Well, Bethy is listening. But Bethy's married to you.
And I know Josh is listening. I have to drag him here.
He's right here.
Yeah, that's now where I am. We have to bring our audience in to make sure they don't tune in.
Right here with us.
He's here in the studio.
And the phone number is 201-209-9368. And we want you to tell a story that your spouse has told, your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, has told. And we want to hear you tell it this time.
Now, Josh, you're probably going through what I go through every week at 6:35.
Which is what?
What the hell was I thinking?
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, here we go. Now it begins. That was all prelude. Prelude to a kiss. Here we go. We're starting over. This is it. This is the show. It's a 25-minute show. This is it. Starting now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Maya.
Maya. Hi, Maya, I'm writing that down so you can't change it. You're okay. Locked into Maya. Are you there with your significant other by any chance?
I am. He's in the kitchen. I was telling him that no one's calling in.
What is his name?
His name's Anthony.
Now, I call him Tony.
You can do that.
Yeah. Does Anthony have a story that you've heard more than a few times?
Plenty.
Okay. Why don't you tell the story that you think you know best, and Anthony will confirm that you got it, that you were close to perfect.
Okay, I think the story, or one of the stories I know best, is about him getting bitten by a coyote when he was 4 years old.
Great story.
Great story. So far, something for everybody. Yeah.
Four, all right, I got the four part right.
Okay, oh, he's confirming there? Okay, he's fact-checking.
Yeah. He's fact-checking.
Yeah, in real time. Fact-checking in real time. Okay, here we go, Maya. Tell the story, but tell it as if you were Anthony. So, hey, we're at a party. I'm meeting you for the first time, and I was bitten by a snake when I was a kid. Do you have a story like that, Anthony?
Oh yeah, I actually have the scar still on my leg. You can see it, right? Actually, when I was camping with my dad up in Canada, just me, my dad, and my brother. I was 4 years old, or actually, maybe just me and my brother. I mean, me and my dad. I was eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich by myself at the picnic table, and my dad looks away for a second, and all of a sudden, the coyote comes up to me and bites me.
And that's the scar right there.
And that's the scar, yeah. And
how was the coyote chased away?
Well, they had to kill the coyote because they thought it might have rabies, and I don't think it did, but my dad kept me at the campsite for the next day, too, even though my mom would have wanted me to come home because he didn't want me to be scared of coyotes afterwards.
Did they kill the coyote right in front of you?
No, I think they took it somewhere.
And do you have a lifelong fear of coyotes?
I used to be scared of dogs, but I got over it, and my wife made me get a poodle.
And Anthony, did you show your wife this Maya, who is a fan, who I love, by the way, I love your wife. Did you show your wife this scar on your first date?
You know, it's hard to say. I tell the story so many times that I can't even keep track of when I first told her or who she is.
Okay, now let's put Anthony on the phone, and I just want to hear how close you got to the actual story.
I think you did great, Maya. But
you don't know. Okay, let's you don't know. It might not have even been a coyote.
It was a coyote.
You don't know. It could have been a grizzly bear. Hi, Anthony.
They took it to the coyote killing fields.
She might have embellished that. That might have been her fantasy.
All right, well, let's hear from Anthony.
Exactly. Hey, Anthony. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, how are you doing?
Fine. Your wife sounds like a real babe. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And tell us how well she did.
I think I heard most of the details. I think she did pretty well. I was 4 or 5. I was bitten by a coyote. I was eating a tuna fish sandwich.
No, you were not. No, you were not. I have it on good authority. You were eating a peanut butter. You were a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
All right. If she says so, I guess it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have you two even met?
We've met a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine a coyote getting that aggro over peanut butter.
Right.
How could Maya have heard this story happening with tuna? How could she have heard the story 1,000 times and not know what kind of sandwich it was?
Well, she's tuned
out. I don't know. I guess she knows when to tune me out.
I guess she does. But right now, she has just she's in first position, right, for the T-shirt?
Yeah, Maya and Anthony are definitely.
Would you say she's at 95% accurate as far as the story?
Yeah, we're not going to take that many points off for the tuna fish mistake.
Too many demerits. Okay, so Maya, you're at 95%. You're in first position for.
So, Anthony and Maya, if you win at the end of the hour, email me ken@wfmu.org, and I'll mail you your prize.
Can they wear the T-shirt backwards or inside out so people won't know it's WFMU?
Yeah, they can wear it backwards and inside
out. Okay, so yeah, okay. So people don't necessarily know.
Yep.
Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have another call. So
yes,
it looks like you might have some competition. Thanks. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Maya and Anthony.
Okay, we're at 201-209-9368. Maya and Anthony's story is the one to beat. Maya was, I thought she was spot on, but then, oh my God, the sandwich.
Yeah, well, we should have guessed that a coyote wouldn't attack over peanut butter and jelly.
You think the coyote was attracted to the peanut butter and jelly?
No, I'm saying that it wouldn't make sense that it would be, because that's all vegetable matter, you know? Tuna fish, that's meat. Meat, baby. That's what the coyotes want.
I would say the coyote wanted a big bite of Anthony. The sweetest,
no, I
the
think
sweetest
it wanted,
little kid, the sweetest little 4-year-old in North America.
I think it wanted what Anthony was eating.
Okay, let's take another call. We have another couple on the phone, 201-209-9368. Tell us the story your spouse has told 100 times.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Jen, say hi to my son, Josh.
Hi, Josh, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rockaway, New Jersey.
Yeah, right. Likely story. Oh, no, I guess that's true.
It could happen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I doubt it.
Yeah, we come in fine in Rockaway,
okay,
New Jersey.
I'm sorry. Apologies. Withdrawn. Okay.
It's very close to Madison. I've driven there many times.
I watch you drive by. I wave to you. You never wave back. Okay, and now, are you there with your spouse, your significant other?
Yeah, she's in the other room listening to the
radio. And what is his name?
His name's Steve.
Oh, Steve. Perfect. And what story has Steve told so often you have to fight the urge to roll your eyes and vomit?
Well, his story is a cautionary tale.
Okay.
So don't roll my eyes, because it's really important that everybody knows what happened to him.
Okay. Why don't you tell it as Steve would tell it, and then Steve will confirm. Steve will do the fact-checking afterwards. Tell it as if you were Steve. How can I set you up? What is the topic?
The topic is restaurant incidents.
Oh, hey, Steve. Steve, I had a weird thing happen at a restaurant the other day. But have you ever had anything unusual happen while you were at a restaurant, Steve?
Oh, yeah. When I was probably 7 or 8, I was on a ski vacation with my family. And I was in a really fancy restaurant. And it was one of those restaurants, like, they used to have in the 90s with, like, the multiple, like, there was, like, a balcony where people could sit above people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I believe I was indoors, and it was a ski vacation, so it was cold, but, like, inside, fancy. And I was sitting with my family at the table eating dinner, and like kids often do, I was sitting in my chair, and I tipped back onto two legs of the chair while we're all sitting around the table eating at this fancy restaurant.
Every parent's
a balcony
nightmare.
Above other tables.
Oh no!
And
I
fell over the balcony onto a table below.
Oh my goodness! Damn gravity! Damn gravity! I
hate
gravity.
Did you hurt yourself? What happened?
No, it was one of those things, I think, where, you know, you're a little kid and you're just kind of made of rubber and, you know, I was fine.
Wait, and was it like a table full of food and people were down there eating? Oh, baby. And,
very embarrassing.
And wait, and what was the end result? Did the restaurant, take responsibility?
I think they felt bad for me. Yeah. I think it was more embarrassing for me than anything else. Probably the people who were sitting and eating dinner had to move and get new food, but it wasn't like, you know, I think it was generally downplayed. But, you know, it's a story about not tipping back on your two legs of your chair. It's so dangerous. You could get hurt.
Well, the people who you fell on, Steve, what were they eating?
What does that matter?
Lobster.
Wait, do you really know the answer to that, Jen?
No.
No, that's the stupidest question. They're down there, they're eating.
I have a picture of it in my head from seeing it so many times.
Suddenly it's raining. It's raining brats. Brats are falling from the balcony.
A lobster would be a terrible thing to fall on.
Oh, for the love.
It has such sharp, edges.
But now who's responsible? Isn't there some responsibility for the restaurant? They made the balcony that low?
I mean, whatever barrier, it was a fancy place, and they didn't expect anybody would actually tip over it.
The low balcony was meant to be funny.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be like fancy, nice. You know?
Oh my gosh! And wait, and was Steve checked out? Was he rushed to the ER?
No, I don't think so.
Wait, you don't know, Jen? You don't know?
She's saying she doesn't think so.
Well, that means she hasn't heard. That means she doesn't.
Bones.
She already said he was made of rubber, and he just kind of got up.
Yeah, he probably just checked him out. It was like, you're fine, and then they were on their way.
Okay, let's put Steve on, and we'll get some fact checking done.
All right, let me know.
Yeah.
That was a good story.
Thank you.
What story do you like better?
Well, I love lobster. I like the fact that he fell on top of a lobster.
Hey, Steve, did you hear?
Hi, it's Steve.
Hey, Steve, did you hear Jen just tell your story? It's like she was singing your greatest hits.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was interesting to hear how incorrect it was.
Exactly.
What was incorrect, Steve?
Well, he was. Why don't you tell him, Steve? Why don't you tell him what she got wrong?
Well, I was 7 or 8 years old.
Exactly. She said 5 or 6. Exactly. Right.
Let Steve talk.
We were eating at one of those
Peter
multi-tiered
Tork.
Restaurants with like a little balcony area above other tables.
Yeah.
And our table was up against the railing.
Oh.
Exactly.
And
right?
I kept bumping into the railing and like bouncing off the railing. And my mom kept saying, "Stop that. You're going to go through the railing. You're gonna squeeze through that railing."
He didn't go over the railing. He's
kind of like shouldering the railing and squeezed between the two.
Oh,
you went through the railing.
That's a completely different story. Okay, if you went over the balcony, I would say the restaurant would be somewhat culpable.
I went through.
Exactly. That is 100% on you, you idiot. That is 110% on you. And of course they didn't sue the restaurant. If you had gone over a low railing, you'd be rich. You'd own the restaurant.
Oh, yeah. No.
Exactly.
No, it was just like,
How could Jen have gotten it that far off?
Why would you put the kid next to the railing?
Well, Steve, I don't know. Are you That I don't know. You think your parents should have sat you across the table.
What was the entree that you fell onto, Steve?
Oh, for the love of God.
That's the other thing. They had no food. They had literally just gotten sat.
That doesn't change.
Sat, and then I felt.
No like one cares right on about
well,
that.
Salad's not going to break your fall.
That doesn't matter at all. Completely superfluous. Completely unnecessary to add.
Chicken pot pie, that might cushion you a little
bit. Okay, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ken. At ease, son. Holster your weapon, son. Okay. Let me see. Hold on. But to me, the headline is that Jen has heard this 100 times, and she thought you went over the railing.
Yeah,
you went through the railing.
The thing that surprised me was going over it.
Of course, I wasn't going back onto legs
or anything like that. I was just shouldering a railing.
Okay, I would say, Jen, look, if this is like fake news, is what it is. I mean, this is not even close. I think Jen batted. I think Jen was at 50%. I mean, Jen did know you were on a ski vacation. She didn't say it was a hunting safari, right? She got that right.
I think what we're learning here is that spouses tune out upon the second telling of the story.
Spouses and co-hosts. You're exactly right.
I mean, the cautionary tale is to watch your kids around railings because they can fit through the post.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, don't tell us. Tell your wife.
Especially skinny
mom. Don't tell us. I don't live with you. I'm not raising kids with you. This is a headline that your wife should read.
Well, Steve,
I don't know Jen very well, but apparently you have to tell her at least 500 times. It won't sink in.
Steven, I've got to tell the story more often now.
I think I was telling it too much. Yeah, I think so.
Not enough, Steve.
Not enough.
So if you and Jen win 10 minutes from now, then email me at ken@wfmu.org, and I'll mail you your T-shirt prize.
Now, here's an interesting. Suppose it was a prize for second place. We now have heard three stories. Was Jen's version of that story closer than Beth's version of my unassisted triple play?
Beth's wasn't really a story.
No, it wasn't. It came close to a story. It came tantalizingly close to being a story.
So we have two entries so far. So if you have if you're a part of a couple, and you can tell us the story that your spouse has dined out on for years and years, give us a call at 201-209-9368.
You know what I'd love to hear as our next caller? The couple that was just being seated underneath Steve and Jen when it started to rain brats. We were just sitting down. We had ordered our appetizers. I was waiting. I was hungry. I remember I hadn't eaten all day.
Wanted his lobster.
Wanted my lobster. I looked up. There was some kid wiggling his way through the railing.
Wait, you skied all day without eating? That doesn't ring true to me.
Well, I can't refute it because it involves the S word, ski. You've well played, Ken Friedman. Well played.
Yeah, I can't believe we both went to speech therapy.
Well, all three of us.
Yeah, and yet we still all have lisps.
Well, Josh is speaking perfectly. At least that money That money was well spent.
I still have my lisp.
I should have gone there. I should have piggybacked on yours. I should have sat in on Josh's.
Come on, couples. 201-209-9368.
They're not calling. 201-209-9368. No, that's it. We had Jen. We had Maya.
Jen and Steve. We had Maya and Anthony.
Anthony and Steve.
There's got to be one more. One more couple.
That's the end. Okay, all you got to do is beat Maya's version. And Maya had a very, very crucial facts mixed up.
Well, just a tuna fish sandwich, which she called a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But do they have coyotes in Madison? They have them in Central Park now. There's two coyotes living in Central Park.
I don't know, Ken.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have coyotes.
They do. There's a coyote couple in Central Park. Uh-huh. You live in Manhattan, and you don't even know this.
If you're just tuning in, it's a slow, slow death. It's excruciating.
Hi, you're on the air.
It doesn't matter.
Hi.
I've given up.
It's you.
They're not going to talk.
Yes, you.
They're just taunting us. They have us on mute, and they are laughing. They're laughing. They're calling from Beijing. They're just Chinese teenagers.
Same ones that hacked us?
Yeah. Now they're hacking our show. Now they're calling.
201-209-9368 is the phone number. We're looking for one more couple to call us up and tell us the story.
Give it up, son. You're just embarrassing yourself now, Ken. You're embarrassing all of us.
The Chinese hackers are calling back. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to tell a story that my husband tells.
Okay.
Great. What's your name? What's your name?
Allie.
Okay. And what's your husband's name?
Ted.
Oh, Ted.
Allie and Ted. Okay.
Now, Allie, what is that story that makes you roll your eyes that you've heard 100 times? What is it?
Well, I don't roll my eyes because I like it, but... and I'm also telling the first person, right? So I'm an art handler at the International Center for Photography. I'm on my way to work, and I'm reading about the exhibit we're going to be having, just opening photos of the 60s, and some of them are going to be the Rolling Stones. And I get to work, and I get on the elevator. I look up from what I'm reading, and there's Mick Jagger. And so I give him a nod, and right next to him is Charlie Watts, and I give him a nod. And we ride up the elevator together to the third floor, and the doors open, and they get out to look at the exhibit that their photo's in. And the turn to the security guard, and I say, they're very important people here. And she goes, really, who? And I say, Mick Jagger and Charlie Watts. And she goes, Mick Jagger? Who's Charlie Watts?
All right, great story.
That is a great story.
And Allie told it really well.
She did, with real enthusiasm, and I'll bet that's word for word. Wait, is Ted there, Allie?
Yes.
Put Ted on the phone.
Okay, Ted.
I'll bet that was a home run.
Hello.
Hey, Ted, how are you?
Oh, pretty good.
First off, wow, you nodded. You nodded at Mick Jagger. Wow. I can see how you've been dining out on that for years. Now,
That was one of the most exciting nod moments I've ever had.
Those elevators are amazing. You never know when you get on an elevator, Ken. That's the lesson of the story. Just if you get on an elevator, stay on the elevator. You never know who's going to. Now, how did your wife do, Ted? Would you say that was 100%?
Well, not 100%. I mean,
Ted, are you going to tell us, Ted, it was Jim Croce? Mick Jagger?
It was not Jim Croce.
Oh, okay.
It was indeed Mick Jagger and Charlie Watts.
And what? And where did Allie stray from the script?
Just small details. It was in Minneapolis.
Oh!
This was like mid-90s.
Right.
There were a few more odd details leading up to I was sitting in the break room. I was reading the newspaper.
Newspaper. She left that out. She completely left out that whole newspaper part of it.
Right. Because I was sitting in the break room, and I was thinking, yeah, the Rolling Stones, they used to be good. They're pretty old now. But, you know, obviously this
That would have set it up perfectly, because then you'd have an ironic twist on the elevator.
Yeah, this is already a long time ago.
Yes, yes. Okay.
And deliver these pamphlets.
But
the
I would say that she got the elevator ride correct.
Yes, but she didn't set it up. The newspaper set it up. The newspaper was Ted saying, "Oh, the Rolling Stones, they're has-beens. They're out of my life. They're not part of this world anymore." And then 2 minutes later, he's on the elevator, right?
And
That's the whole thing. She left out
the
whole setup.
The elevator, and I'm looking at the pamphlet.
That's right.
That
she didn't put it in context.
And I see this artwork includes collages of the Rolling Stones drug bust from the 60s newspaper articles.
Exactly.
Again, I'm looking at pictures of the Rolling Stones before I get on the elevator, and then
it has to be set up like
the
that.
Doors open,
there needs to be that prologue.
I still think Allie did a great job.
Allie did fine. She did the best she could.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much,
okay,
guys.
Okay. Ted, and Allie, Andy, and I are going to deliberate now.
Charlie Watts, of course.
Yeah. Charlie. Oh, that was a great punchline. Oh, Mick Jagger, and then who's Charlie Watts? It's fantastic.
Ted and Allie, if you guys win, email me at ken@wfmu.org to get your prize T-shirt.
How many times, roughly, in Charlie Watts' life did he hear that? Oh, wow, Mick Jagger. Who's Charlie Watts? That must be like the running theme song of his life.
Oh, but he was, Charlie Watts was so cool.
He was the coolest. Yeah. You could argue he was the coolest guy in the
band.
Yeah,
he was. There's a whole documentary called Charlie is My Darling.
Wait. There's a documentary about Charlie Watts?
Well, there's...
And you just waited till the end of the show?
There's a Rolling Stones documentary.
Wait, what?
Named after Charlie.
Oh, really? He's in the name? The name? Charlie Watts' name?
It's called Charlie is My...
It's called Charlie Watts?
Charlie is My...
Wait, what? Charlie is what?
Too jerky, man. Too jerky.
Well, I only get one show a week.
It's called... All right, so who wins?
I don't care.
I think Allie wins.
You do?
Yeah.
Just for her enthusiasm?
Well, she told the story of the elevator ride perfectly.
She started, though, in chapter 3. She didn't begin.
Yeah, but...
I got to say Maya began. She set it up, right?
Which one was that?
That was, she was on a camping trip. We were, it was coyotes.
The coyote?
She had the sandwich wrong.
Oh, she
There's
got
no
the sandwich.
Line.
That's true. Allie told a real story with a punchline.
Yeah, she got the punchline. She nailed the punchline.
Whatever makes you happy.
Josh, what do you think?
I think Mick Jagger.
Oh, okay, there it is. That's Allie.
Allie and Ted win. Allie and Ted, you win a T-shirt. Email me at ken@wfmu.org. And Maya and Anthony and Jen and Steve, I'll email you guys. I'll send you guys a bumper sticker if
well,
you email
maybe,
me.
I hope they learn to pay closer attention to their spouses when their spouses are talking. Because you pay a price at the end of the day. You don't win T-shirts.
Right. Or bumper stickers.
Well, and this has been great.
Are you going to punish your wife for not doing a good job on the triple play story?
Well, I punish her by staying married to her.
That is...
I'm to die. I'm going to grow old with
that
her.
That is the worst punishment of all.
Believe me, she'll learn her lesson. And, hey, Joshy, I don't know. I'm so glad you had the day off. I'm so glad your son was at camp and you could join us.
Happy to.
And our next week is a gender reveal?
Maybe gender reveal next week. We'll
cross
see.
Your fingers. Hope for a boy.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for 21 Lounge with Don Fleming.
Call us lucky, you and I, lucky girl, lucky guy, and when I hold your hand or touch your cheek, I know I'm a lifetime lucky streak, a lucky rainbow lights the sky. When we kiss, when we sigh, they call me lucky, Mr. Lucky Guy. And you're the reason why. Evening, chillin'. This is Don Hayes from the Mark 2100 21 Lounge, right on the ocean in Fort Lauderdale. We have a nice little group here tonight, and we're going to give you a rendition of what we do every night. Thank you, Chillin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the music of the Society of Two. John Salerno and Ron Truro, forming the Society of Two, very happy to be with you here in Fort Lauderdale.
Say, moon above you, global school, evening light, shall unite in Tunisia, never the shine so bright. Stars will glow in the heavens, for the wise understand, shall unite in Tunisia, the guide through the desert sand. Words fail to tell a tale too exotic to be told. Each night's a deeper night in a world ages old. Days of the day seem to vanish, the ending of day brings release. Each wonderful night in Tunisia, where the nights are filled with peace. You know that each night's a deeper night in a world ages old. So old that the kiss of the day seem to vanish, the ending of day brings release. She won't for night in Tunisia, where the nights are filled with peace. Where the nights are filled with peace. Where the nights are filled with peace. I think I'm going out.